Rising from the stairs, I stepped into the darkness of the shop. I didn't need the light switch to find my way. I know the shop the way you know the places of your childhood. Instantly, the smell of leather and old paper was soothing. We see few customers at Lee's antiquarian booksellers, a scant half a dozen a day on average. There is a flurry of activity in September when the students come to buy copies of the New Year's set texts, another in May when they bring them back after the exams. These books my father calls migratory. At other times of the year, we can go days without seeing a client. How do they make ends meet? You might think if you saw how few customers come and go. But you see, the shop is, in financial terms, just a sideline. The proper business takes place elsewhere. We make our living on the basis of perhaps half a dozen transactions a year. This is how it works. Father knows all the world's great collectors, and he knows the world's great collections. If you were to watch him at the auctions or book fairs that he attends frequently, you would notice how often he is approached by quietly spoken, quietly dressed individuals who draw him aside for a quiet word. Their eyes are anything but quiet. Half a dozen times a year, this inquiry is the prelude to a journey. A journey in which my father collects a book here and delivers it there. He is rarely gone for more than 48 hours, 6 times a year. This is our livelihood. The shop itself makes next to no money. It is a place to write and receive letters, a place to while away the hours waiting for the next international book fair, a repository of books, a place of safety for all the volumes once so lovingly written that at present no one seems to want. And it is a place to read. A is for Austen, B is for Bronte, C is for Charles, and D is for Dickens. I learned my alphabet in this shop, filing the books. By the time I was in my teens, I was giving my father so much assistance that on quiet afternoons we had little real work to do. Once the morning's work was done, the new stock shelved, the letters written, once we had eaten our sandwiches by the river and fed the ducks, it was back to the shop to read. Gradually, my reading acquired a focus. More and more often I found myself meandering on the second floor. 19th-century literature, biography, autobiography, memoirs, diaries and letters. The ordinary lives of ordinary people. I did not simply read them, I devoured them. Though my appetite for food grew frail, my hunger for books was constant. It was the beginning of my vocation. I am not a proper biographer. In fact, I am hardly a biographer at all. For my own pleasure mainly, I have written a number of short biographical studies of insignificant personages from literary history. My interest has always been in writing biographies of the also-rans, people who lived in the shadow of fame in their own lifetime and who, since their deaths, have sunk into profound obscurity. I like to disinter lives that have been buried in unopened diaries on archive shelves for 100 years or more. Rekindling breath from memoirs that have been out of print for decades pleases me more than almost anything else.